Welcome back, DC fans. This is DC Talk episode number 26. Just a smooth jazz of January 20th, 2019. No, who cares? It's not smooth jazz. We're going to talk about some DC stuff tonight, and I'm looking forward to digging into a few news announcements. Some of them are just going to kind of go through pretty quickly. And then we have our DC TV discussion we're going to get through. And then at the top of that, we are going to have some discussion questions that were given to you and that were given to us in Discord. We have some emails, we have some reviews, and man, we are loaded with stuff tonight. So it's not just me, though, because if it was just me, you'd be absolutely bored because of the fact that my team is playing right now in the championship game, so there would be dead space. So I have to have somebody to help me fill that dead space when I'm not paying attention and make this conversation better. There she is. Carrie, what's up?
Oh, I am, because I'm, like, awake and stuff right now. But, hey, I'm doing good. What is this about me having to keep you from not being distracted, or am I just around to make sure people are entertained while you're distracted?
You carried the intellectual conversation of the whole podcast.
Well, that's true. That's true. At least.
Yes,
I can agree.
It
I
is.
Can agree with that. Yeah. And
oh.
I won't be distracted by the sports ball. So yeah.
The sports ball. I will.
Yeah, you will.
But we're not here to talk about sports balls. But we have a couple things we'd like to talk about real quick. But first, I do want to give a network announcement before we talk about our contest we have going on. I just want to put out there, and I know Carrie agrees with me as well. Guys, listen, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me is the stupidest quote out there. Yes, sticks and stones can break your bones for sure, but words are very powerful. So let's remember, whenever you send, whether it be an email or a text or a message or to people you may know, to the host or anything like that, guys, be careful what you say because words can be effective, all right? And let's not say things ignorantly. Let's not say things unjustly, all right? Let's know the facts before you spew the wrong facts, all right? So remember that words are effective. Watch your tongue because, you know, as Mama used to say, if it ain't nice to say it to somebody, don't say it at all. And I say that in all sincerity and love because I'm working on it with my kids right now, that they have to be careful on the things that they say because words do hurt. Anything to add to that, Miss Carrie?
Well, it's not just Mama. You know, Thumper used to say that to in Bambi as well. And, you know, so kids, go watch Bambi. Maybe get your
Bambi gets shot in the end.
I was going to say, you know, with your parents' permission, because apparently it's not as kid friendly as it was when I was three. But yeah, you know, just be respectful. And I realize it's hard because because examples come from, we have examples from, you know,
various sides in the government,
yeah,
and everything else, and higher ups.
We have examples of people not being civil to each other, not being respectful, and you know what? It's not the way to be. So
let's start something different. Right. Let's not be like everybody else.
Let's not perpetuate the indignation and the indecency and stuff like that.
So that's just a small network announcement. So guys, keep that in mind. But we do have a show announcement. We have this awesome contest running that for some reason maybe you didn't know about, or maybe you're behind. So we're gonna give you one more week to kind of enter this contest. All you've got to do is leave us a review for DC Talk, and your name will be entered into a drawing that we will draw next Sunday night for a copy of a Blu-ray DVD digital of Death of Superman. It will be yours. You only have to pay for shipping. Come on. How easy is it to get an easy, free movie? You don't even have to like DC, but hey, you got a DC movie. If you're listening to our podcast, obviously we assume you like DC. So check it out. Go on iTunes, wherever you review your shows, write us a review, Give us 5 stars. Give us 4 stars. Really, we want you to give us 5. But give us whatever stars you want. Review us. All right? And let your voice be heard. The more reviews we have, the higher up we go in the Apple Store and other stores that we have our podcast in. And while you do it, you get to win Death of Superman. So I'll be putting that back out again in Discord this week. Get your reviews in. It takes like 5 minutes to do. So make sure you keep that in mind. Anything else, Miss Carrie, before we head into our news tonight?
Nope, I don't think so. Just let's get going because we got stuff. We got stuff.
That's
to
right.
Do.
So let's go move on into our DC TV news.
Okay, so this is actually kind of an obvious one, but. The Flash's disappearance will play a major role in Crisis on Infinite Earths. That has been put forward as a major point of conflict with the in the Crisis on Infinite Earths. And come on, they've been teasing this since the beginning of the Flash series, so we know it's coming. We know he's going to disappear at some point, and he's going to disappear during the crisis, and the crisis is coming next year. So look out for that.
Yeah. I mean, we knew it was generally coming. So it'll happen. We'll see. We'll see. We know the Flash disappeared after the crisis in the comics for I think about 30 years he disappeared. And then he ended up getting back somehow by guess whose help? The Reverse Flash. So we have the timeline going on right now with Nora and Eivor Thawn. So it'll be interesting. There's a few questions I have about that, such as why does he look like Wells? What's with the vest he's wearing? What's with the countdown timer? Just different things. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. But keep those things in mind. But yeah, so Flash's disappearance is going to play a major role. And maybe that's why Nora came back.
Maybe.
So. All right.
So moving on. So this was pretty special, guys. The CW has released an official synopsis for the 150th episode of Arrow, which is going to be called The Emerald Archer. And it is going to be a faux documentary narrated by none other than the Beast himself, Kelsey Grammer. Or I should say Dr. Fraser Crane, since that would be since Beast would be mixing comic book companies, and we can't have that. So it'll be a faux documentary dealing with the rise of vigilantes following the disappearance of Oliver Queen, following the appearance of Oliver Queen as the Hood at the start of Arrow. So that is gonna be cool, and we are hitting episode 150 this year, guys. So that is awesome.
That is good. It really is, because not a lot of shows make it to 150. So that's I'm excited about that. I like kind of a mockumentary kind of documentary kind of stuff. I like those. I think it's really good.
Speaking of Arrow, it looks like they are going to be doing a Birds of Prey inspired episode. It looks like I think this season. I mean, it's likely that they will be able to call the episode Birds of Prey because, well, reasons being that there's a movie and apparently they can't use the name, maybe they'll get permission, who knows, but we already have Laurel as Black Siren, and who knows, maybe they'll be able to get Huntress back for this episode.
Do you think we have a Harley?
I doubt it.
We got a Harley on Gotham.
I realize a really weird
version of Harley, but we got a Harley on Gotham.
I realize that, but we do have a Black Canary and we have Black Siren, and maybe I don't see anything here, but maybe they can get Sarah.
That'd be really cool to get Sarah to come back
for that one as well. So we will see.
Do you think that that's going to be because the remember, I think it was last year, the female cast of the Arrowverse shows wanted to do an all-female crossover kind of thing? Do you think that that's how, what they could be meaning by Birds of Prey? Because the Birds of Prey are all female anti-villain, anti-heroes and heroes in the comics.
But
you'll have like Iris and Felicity and Sarah and Laurel and Dinah.
I think they would be making bigger deal of it if that was the case. Like I said, I think maybe bringing Sarah back as White Canary might be a bit of a stretch.
Ruby Rose, or bringing in
Batwoman. Traditionally, Birds of Prey has usually been Huntress and Black Canary, and depending on which version you're looking at, usually Barbara Gordon as Oracle, and sometimes Catwoman. Catwoman has been featured on Birds of Prey in the comics, at least. And Batgirl, aka Cassandra Cain, has also been in the Birds of Prey. So, who knows?
Sounds good.
And then finally, as far as our general DC TV news, so we have an explanation for why Barry was stuck in the pipeline.
Because he was vibrating too fast.
But no, actually, that is because this episode that aired this week was filmed while they were doing the crossover. And in order to give Grant Gustin a break,
they kind of write him off.
They kind of wrote him off the right. episode this season, this week. So that's okay. Kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. I heard that as well. On they talked about that. I just finished listening to Scarlet Velocity.
Oh right.
So they kind of brought that up as well. So that was pretty cool. That was cool. But yeah, so that's all of our DC TV news. Obviously, we're going to have a little bit more starting next week because all the shows actually start tonight with Supergirl.
Yep.
So all our shows are back. We are back in full swing, and thank goodness, because I need something good after watching Daredevil Season 3. Moving into DC Universe
you're about to get hurt by somebody. It won't be me.
Probably.
But, yeah. I'm sure someone's gonna have words.
Probably. Tim doesn't listen to us. Lizzie doesn't listen to us. We know they don't listen. It's okay.
John doesn't listen to us.
No, John. I don't think
anyone else on the network actually listens. No. Any of the other network people actually listen to us. So you may be off the hook. But I'm gonna stand over here.
It's just me and you talking about DC. That's okay. I'm down.
But just in case, I'm gonna be over there.
Okay, sounds good.
Far away from whatever splatter may miss you.
Maybe just a little. So DC Universe, so the Swamp Thing has reportedly cast Power Rangers star RJ Seiler. Now, if you don't know RJ Seiler, he played Billy or the Blue Ranger on the new Power Rangers from 2017. Did you see this movie, Carrie?
No. I haven't seen it.
Well, you will on Cape Chronicles, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I have years and years before I actually have to watch this movie.
So he is a he's a younger guy. He's only 24. But he's been cast for that role. He's also appeared at one time in Black Lightning. He played Todd Green back I don't remember exactly the episode. But he played the Blue Ranger on the new Power Rangers. And for those who don't know me, I am a huge Power Rangers fan. I'm talking not this new garbage, but I'm a huge original Power Ranger fan. And if it was the same level as Star Wars and superheroes, it's on that same level. So I'm glad to see him getting in cast again as well. And by the way, let's start the hashtag Power Rangers number 2. Let's get it going on Twitter, guys. Come on. I want a second movie with the Green Ranger. Anyways, in season 2 of Titans will apparently start filming in March, and I'm pretty excited about that, actually.
Yeah, me too, because they can't that cliffhanger is murder.
Right. That
that cliffhanger sucks. I mean, it's the show is awesome, but that cliffhanger is just like,
no, we need a season 2.
Why did
like
we
now.
Leave it there?
So, moving on then into a little bit other news after that one. In our general news, the Shazam suit reportedly has cost over $1 million to make. Carrie, they have to make at least $1 million in this movie in order to pay back for the suit.
There's all that padding, and the lightning bolt apparently lights up. And I was actually trying to research this. I couldn't find the number, but I mean, how much have any of the bat suits cost?
I have no idea.
Okay, I realize it's CG, but how much did the CG for Thanos cost?
Quite a bit of money.
Probably. And this is not new to spend this kind of money on costuming. I couldn't find the exact figure, but I remember when they did Hook, they made a big deal about how Dustin Hoffman's coat was had to be air conditioned because it was so heavy, and
wow.
He basically wore it the entire time. And you know, studio lights are really hot, guys.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever stood under them.
We have some pan lights over at our church for our stage lights.
Yeah.
When they get turned on full blast, if I'm up there preaching, it gets hot.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's how much that cost. But, you know, not talking about Shazam. By the way, did you see the new Shazam trailer that came out?
No, I didn't.
Ooh,
when did it come out?
Okay. So it came out, I think, yesterday or today. I can't remember.
I will have to look at that. I got kind of distracted by the American Gods season 2 trailer.
Okay. Yeah, well, whatever. So
yeah.
So I watched it while I was watching this game. Apparently, he jumps off a rooftop and yells Shazam. And the lightning hits him, and he transforms in midair.
Nice.
It is awesome. After this episode, Carrie, you need to watch.
I am definitely watching.
It was really good. There's a couple scenes. Like at the end, he's standing in the convenience store. And spoiler, if you don't want to know, he's standing in the convenience store in his Shazam outfit. Like, yeah, I'm 21, and I want to get some beer. Just like this little
right,
this, right, right. So it's kind of funny. Anyways. So speaking of DC movie news, Aquaman has passed Man of Steel at the box office as it graces toward $300 million. Now that may not seem like a lot to some people, but
that's,
I want you to understand.
That's domestically, right?
Yes, domestically.
Okay.
This is the highest grossing Warner Brothers movie since 2012's The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey.
Nice.
So, I good job, Aquaman. It keeps crushing records. I'm wondering if people have seen the same Aquaman movie that we've seen, the ones that say they don't like it. I don't know. I don't get it.
Well,
but
I'm not entirely sure you've seen the same Daredevil season 3 that I saw. So, you know, I don't think that's a valid argument, but that's okay. If they don't like it, they don't like it. It's fine. They're allowed to not like stuff that we like.
Oh, yeah. Well, if that's all of our news, we're going to go ahead and move then into our DC TV discussion. All right, so we're going to be talking about The Flash, and I forgot to put the recap in here, Carrie. Can you believe that?
Yes, actually, I can. You were distracted by the sports ball, weren't you?
Yes, I was distracted by the sports balls for sure. All right. So with that being said, let me pull up the. All right. So this is called. This is season 5, episode 10. It was the only of our normal DC TV on CW shows that came back this week called The Flash and the Furious. The Flash and the Furious. Gee, I wonder where they got that from. The recap is. While Nora grapples with the revelation that Thawne killed her grandma, Team Flash must stop a formidable team-up of a newly spring jail, Weather Witch, and Silver Ghost, a new Meditech villain who can control engines and motorized technology. Meanwhile, Caitlin and Cisco discuss creating a metahuman cure. So we did get an answer. It is Eobard Thawne.
Yeah.
I knew we weren't sure exactly if it was going to be Wells or Thawne or who it was going to be, but we did get a confirmation it was Eobard Thawne, so that's pretty good.
I think I know the answer. You had asked me before why Thawne looks like Wells and not himself. I think it might be because this is the Thawne that went back in season one.
So do you think that...
So that's why he looks like Wells.
That timer that's counting down is he's got to go by that time in order for it to work, for the timeline to stay the same. So like, but
that so, I don't know.
So that could be a thought. Jay and Josh actually gave a great theory, or it may have been Josh that gave the great theory on Scarlet Velocity this week, where he said that Nora, he's got a theory that Nora is not actually as old as she looks. She is younger, but somehow has aged, which I don't know, that actually
makes sense considering how she acts. She doesn't act like a 20-something-year-old.
Right.
She acts like a teenager a lot of the time, which might be part of the reason why she gets annoying at times.
Right. I like Sherlock.
He's starting to grow on me. He's still a bit, I don't know. I think
all his little sounds when Barry was vibrating, like, you know, and then he's like, face through the floor. Wait a minute, face through the floor. I mean, he is so funny. I love his, it's funny to me. Anyways, I like Sherlock. And then, of course, we'll get into a little bit of this in just a second as well, but the Cisco apparently finds a metahuman cure. I think it's not that Cisco wants to be free from his powers. I think he's scared because if he gets his powers back, he'll be a target again.
Maybe. I do think Caitlin and Killer Frost had a point that, you know, Cicada scared the crap out of him.
Oh yeah,
and he's still dealing with that. And I don't know. I think you know, he has a valid wish to be, you know, quote unquote normal.
Right.
But my first thought with this was, you know, to, you know, jump comic book. Companies here. My first thought was, you know, all the talk about the X-Men, about the cure for the X gene, and if you've been watching The Gifted, this season, they've kind of hit on that. They hit on that in X-Men 3 and a couple of other movies. I think they hit upon it in the animated series back in the 90s as well. So. My first thought was, oh, Cisco, you are not going there, and I'm at least glad that Caitlin and Killer Frost are there to, you know, kind of steer him in a better direction.
I agree. Do you think it was wrong for Killer Frost to destroy what he was working on?
I'm not sure. I think Killer Frost has a very particular. I would not say skills.
Maybe she's scared that if it becomes mandatory that she'll lose Caitlin, because I think whether she wants to admit it or not, she's attached to Caitlin.
Oh yeah, she's definitely attached to Caitlin. She and Caitlin have definitely worked out their differences.
Right. I love the quick. By the way, I love the quick transformations and the ice healing on the hands. Pretty funny.
Oh yeah.
To me.
And I mean, it's weird for her to be the voice of reason because, I mean, she's...
Yeah.
But, I mean, she kind of had a point. She made it in probably not the best way possible, but she at least got Sisko to stop and think about what he was doing and what circumstances he wants this to happen under.
Right.
So, whether you agree with her or not, that's one thing, but, you know, okay.
Okay. Well, what do you have?
Oh, what do I have? Is this the Batmobile prototype? I'm not the only person who thought this. I saw a couple of discussions online about whether or not that car, Wayne Tech car, was the Batmobile.
Yeah.
It definitely has more tech than the Batmobile did, because I don't remember the Batmobile being able to cloak itself like that.
Well, I don't think it could have been the Batmobile, because if you had the Elseworlds story going on with Batwoman, okay?
Right.
Batman's already left Gotham.
Yeah, but Bruce Wayne is Kate Kane's cousin, and
he would have already had a Batmobile.
What?
But he would have already had a Batmobile before that, because remember, he left, what, 3 or 4 years earlier, so he would have already been
in
a Batmobile.
And he probably left the Batmobile behind. And they did say that this was a Wayne Tech car. So I like that they are dropping at least the name into things a little more. I think that is great. And you know, if this ends up not being the Batmobile, it ends up not being the Batmobile. It's not. I just thought
it looked cool. I liked it.
It was a very cool car.
It did. Yeah, it was. It was. Carrie, there is an uncaged desire.
Oh, dear God. They sent the Murray's book.
Oh, that, y'all. If you haven't seen something.
Apparently, I don't know if it's just, you know, the cabin fever, but apparently Barry liked it. Which is weird.
And he was just reading it, like.
Well, and what else was he going to do?
He
couldn't do anything else.
So, and how did they contact Legend? Hey, guys, listen, Barry's in a pipeline right now, and he really needs he needs a book to read or something to do.
Why not? unless they just sent. You know, their friends' copies of this book. I mean, why not?
And apparently he already got it published. So, I mean...
yeah.
Good.
Well,
he
is on a time ship. He can submit it to the editor and have it published like that. Or
right.
maybe he self-published. You know, that does happen.
Well, Could have been. But still.
What,
I just love the name of it, guys.
What is Nora trying to do? Because I don't know.
So I think they have a line, they have a plot for Nora in this season, but I almost think sometimes the writer introduced something really cool, like, oh, this is your daughter back from the future. And they kind of painted themselves in a corner, so they're trying to figure out something really quickly. I mean, I don't think they would have done that, but that's just how I feel like the whole storyline with Nora is going, is that they had a great idea, but they didn't know how they were going to land the plane yet. And I think they're trying to figure out how they're going to land it.
Right. I'm still, like I said, when we went over Elseworlds, I'm still kind of disappointed that we didn't have a hey dad moment with Oliver. That would have been awesome.
That would have been hilarious.
But I digress.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure I trust Nora at this point. Maybe I'm just off base with that.
Okay. Crazy theory. It's probably not happened, but crazy theory. Okay. So we have seen Eobard Thawne take the look of somebody else. He took the look of Wells when he came to Earth, to this timeline. What if Eobard Thawne has taken the look of Nora, and really Nora is Thawne on the outside, and that timer that is up there, and Eobard knows it, or Nora, if she's in Eobard's body, whatever, knows it. Okay,
no,
and she says, you
I
have this much
a,
time.
I think
you. Anyway, I mean, I know it's a stretch.
I think based on her conversation with Thawne, I don't see that happening.
Anyway, it was just like I say, it was just a stretch, just a crazy.
No, I understand.
Idea.
I understand. I just don't agree.
Okay. Well, anything else about Flash before we move into Gotham?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
All right, go ahead.
As you flail.
I'm not flailing.
That looked like flailing to me. Anyway, Gotham, Season 5, Episode 3, Legend of the Dark Knight, Penguin, our hero. With the creation of Haven as a safe place for refugees, Gordon helps to stop the gang fighting in Gotham. Meanwhile, Selina is determined to find Jeremiah, and she convinces Bruce to help her. Then Penguin goes to Haven to reclaim him and his staff. And there goes the peace in Haven.
Can I have a fragging choir, please?
No.
I want a choir every time I wake
no.
up. Stands outside of my
no.
bedroom and sings to me. And...
No. No. You don't need that. You don't need that kind of ego boost. You really don't.
Oh. So I wouldn't go to the dark zone. After
me
I saw that guy's chest, I would stay far away from it.
Yeah, but apparently that's where Jeremiah is, and Selina's gonna go there one way or another. So,
speaking of Selina, let's talk about Selina then real quick.
Yeah,
Selina has really started to embrace this whole Catwoman role very well. With the
I
seen her flip on the cars, the way she was standing when she was fighting that big guy, when she was crouched over, she was crouched like I can't remember her name now from Batman Returns.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yes, Michelle Pfeiffer, when she was kind of slinked down there. So she's really started coming to Catwoman role, not only just the way her mannerisms, but her actions and her talks when she gave Bruce that kiss on the cheek,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's very reminiscent of a Catwoman kind of toy with Bruce.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
What do you think about Selina?
I think that seed Ivy gave Bruce is doing its job.
Right.
And it is definitely, I think this is a process that started, you know, when she was pushed out that window by the Bruce clone. And I don't remember if Hugo Strange got his hooks into her at all the episode or two back in, season 3 when she went to Arkham to find Firefly.
Okay.
But this has definitely been a process that's been happening for a while, and I think that whatever it is that Ivy handed to Bruce is just speeding up the process. Now, whether or not she's going to try to fight the darkness that apparently is rising within her, that's a different story.
She didn't seem like it. She seemed like she wanted to embrace it.
No, but she's also kind of pissed off that and wanting to get back at Jeremiah for shooting her. I mean, and she also has some, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder there too, because I mean, she said herself, you know, she doesn't like having guns pointed at her anymore.
Right. And it's funny.
Totally understandable.
And it's funny how Harvey always said that when he's standing with Gordon, that he's a bullet magnet in a way. He's always getting shot at. And the same thing I think mm-hmm. is true with Selina. When Selena's always around Bruce, something bad is happening to her.
Well, she said that in the first episode.
Right.
You know, she only gets hurt when she's around Bruce. And
right.
Now she's at the point where she's not going to let that happen anymore. So
right.
maybe in part she's pushing Bruce away a bit. Now, I loved that fight. Selina versus the big guy and then Bruce versus everyone else. That was awesome.
Yeah, hey, and in that fight we had the grappling hook.
Yes.
I loved seeing the grappling hook.
Yes, that was awesome.
So that was pretty cool. I was like, oh, that's why I put it in the notes. Bruce's grappling hook. Bruce's.
Yay!
I thought it was really cool. So
yes, I like that he used it to stop Selena. That was good. Penguin's a terrible leader.
Yeah. Even the dog leaves.
Yeah. I mean, okay. He keeps going on about how all of his subjects love him, because we've never heard that before from anyone ever, even in real life. We have never heard that before about, you know, poll numbers are up and to the highest they've been, even though they're not. And just the smile on his head henchman's face when he died, saying, be able to say, everyone hated you. That was just
poor,
like,
Mr. Penn.
Poor Mr. Penn. He died, but he at least died happy. He at least died being able to say that all of Penguin's people hated him.
Yes, even the dog.
Even the dog.
So we've talked about Selena. We've talked a little bit about Penguin. We talked about the dog.
By the way, that ego boost at the end of the episode, he did not need that.
No, he didn't.
That's just going to make him even more insufferable.
Yeah. I did say that he will eventually, I think they said he is going to be wearing the fat costume by the end of the show. And that the girl who plays Selena in the show said that she will have a Catwoman costume, but it will not have ears like we normally see.
Well,
so
okay,
that would be interesting.
So the Catwoman, they changed the Catwoman costume in the 90s. Not in the 90s. Around the turn of the century, they got rid of the purple catsuit type thing, and she pretty much has been wearing what Selena's been wearing on Gotham now.
Yeah.
So, she's almost there.
Right, she is. She is, so. So we talked about them, but there's somebody we didn't talk about. And so Selena go into the Dark Zone.
Uh-huh.
And there's an initiation to be part of a really cool club there. And it's everybody gets a gun. There's one bullet. And you put it to the guy in front of you's head. And when the countdown hits three, you pull the trigger. And if you're left standing, you have entered Jeremiah's graces. And he wants to be a part with
you. He wants you to be a part. Yeah.
And it's held on by the leader, none other than Harley. We finally get Harley.
Yes. This is a very, very twisted Harley. Yes,
she
is very much
nuts. This is not the Harley from the animated movies. This is not the Harley that I know from the comics either.
No, it's not.
This is a very different version of Harley.
This is not the Harley that jumped into a vat of acid for the Joker. This is the Harley that apparently survived a bullet to the brain for the sake of Jeremiah, which... is it much better?
And they did tell us. They said that when we do introduce Harley, it will be in a way you don't expect either.
Right.
And I was not expecting this when I saw her. I was like, "Oh, this is not okay. This is very unusual. Very psychotic."
I was not sure. I mean, they had the costume kind of going with the, you know, the red and the black kind of alternating and stuff, even with the white inmates uniform thing. It wasn't until she called Selena Puddin that I was like, oh, yep,
that's Harley.
That's definitely Harley.
Yep. So let's talk about the end real quick, and then we'll move into Young Justice.
What just happened?
All those innocent people just died.
Haven went and blew up.
Yeah, now Bruce has got nobody he's protecting.
Right.
How did the bombs get in there to begin with?
I wonder if maybe it was the kids.
I don't know.
I wonder if maybe it was Bane.
It could have been Bane. I think we're supposed to get Bane next episode.
I wonder if maybe it was the gangs that that tried to overrun the place.
I have no idea, but
I don't know, but
yeah, I hope we find that out next episode.
But damn, I just sat there going, what?
Did they really end this episode on that note?
Yes, they did.
It was rough. Okay. Well, anything else about Gotham then?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
All right, well, let's burn through a few episodes of Young Justice Outsiders real quick. All right, so Season 3, Episode 7, Evolution. Aliens once again threaten the Earth, but with the Justice League split and scatter, only Earth's first and greatest hero can save us, Vandal Savage.
Right.
And I love the story about Vandal Savage.
Yeah. Well, this episode was rather appropriate for a couple of reasons. The late Miguel Ferrer, who died 2 years ago, voiced Vandal Savage up through season 2. So that and there was a dedication at the end of the episode to him. So, but yeah. I kind of liked that this entire episode was kind of a dedication to him as well, because it focused on Savage that, and like when I saw the dedication at the end, I was like, oh right, he was Vandal Savage for years.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really, really cool. By the way, I remember you saying that you thought you saw Apocalypse across the screen.
Yes. Did you finally see it?
I saw it and Earth.
Yep. Yep.
And it
I was going to ask you
Apocalypse.
About that.
I think Vandal Savage kind of alluded to it in this episode as, you know, the final showdown between Apocalypse and Earth.
Yep. And you talked we had the story of we had Darkseid and the anti-life mm-hmm. equation was mentioned.
Yes.
Which
yes.
brings more of a theory to what Eric posted in Discord the other day about the show titles, the first
yes.
letter in show titles being named having anti-life equation.
Right.
That's really good. And did you catch the Batman versus Superman debate when they were all camped around the fire?
Yeah, my thinking is either Nightwing doesn't know that Batman has already fought Superman, or he's
and
lying.
And won, by the way, Batman won. Okay.
Batman won.
Batman did win.
Now, this may be part of a larger scheme, but at the beginning of this episode, it kind of looks like Lex and Savage may have screwed themselves by sending
yep.
all of the by sending half the Justice League to off planet.
Yeah.
It works out in the end.
Let me see.
But, and this is going to be something that only a few people will get, but War World versus an unknown space fleet. I think I just ran through this in Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yeah, only a few people would get it, because it certainly wasn't me.
Yeah. If anyone else is listening to this and has played through the additional content in The Old Republic, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Did you hear Victor Stone get a shout out?
I heard them give a shout out to Dr. Stone. I assume that was his father that they were talking
about.
Well,
I heard Victor Stone because they were talking about football at the high school.
Right.
So it was on the radio when they were on the beach. I heard that.
Oh,
that's why
right.
it was one of my first things I put on there. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah. Again, sports ball kind of, you know, I don't pay attention.
So you wrote something in here right under your notes about Nightwing didn't know about Batman and Superman yet.
Brionne is such a dork, but then so are Superboy and Nightwing.
I love the whole scene with Tigress.
Was
just,
that
like,
was awesome.
I mean, you pick Tigress. Rawr. It's just listen, this show is definitely not for immature audiences. I know that sounds weird.
Definitely not taking itself completely seriously, which is fine.
We talk about Lobo here in a second. His little grappling thing he's got when it pierces Halo. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second too. So that was fun. I do agree with you that the whole Jace and Jeff is a very weird romance.
Weird. It's weird.
Yes,
it's. Let's
really
just
is.
Say it's weird. I had the starfish alien thingies.
Yep.
Yeah, because throwing just one more villain for people to deal with would have been so much fun.
Yes. And then at the end of the episode, we see Vandal take the life of Olympia,
which was one of his daughters.
Right, and we didn't know that till the end of the episode, which is interesting to see.
I started to have suspicions, and then I wonder if what's the other daughter's name? I wonder if she looks at that and sees something not right about what it is she's helping him with.
And yeah.
If Vandal can just, you know, take the life of one of his kids like that,
what could it do for her?
Yeah. Also, did you catch that Naboo was one of Vandal Savage's kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
So
that
seems fitting, considering what he was doing last week.
That's true.
Yeah, last week.
So moving on to episode 8, which is Triptych. As metahuman trafficking spreads across the U.S., three very different teams of heroes seek to put a stop to it. I really liked this episode, because I like seeing Orphan and Arrowette, especially since we saw Orphan on Gotham. Uh-huh. It was very interesting to see a different version of Orphan here.
Well, this Orphan is probably Cassandra Cain, which was Batgirl for a while. Was Batgirl for a while.
But I like seeing that. I like seeing that little group with Robin there. I thought that was really cool. I liked it.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Robin and the girls.
Yep.
Which is fine. Which is fine. It's totally fine. But it's just like, huh. Okay. Let's see. This show has a lot of balls up in the air, which kind of goes back to my comment about the starfish aliens in the previous episode. Yeah, that would have just been one more ball up in the air. And I hope everything comes together.
I think it will. I
hope they have a plan.
I think everything leads to Darkseid.
I think you're right. I think everything leads to Darkseid and Savage.
Because we saw one of the metahumans that were trafficked in the last episode used
as
a bomb.
Yes, we did. Yes.
So everything leads to Darkseid. So that's
I agree.
That's why I think everything. I think it'll happen in, like, the penultimate episode of this season, right before you get to the finale of the season. I think you're going to have.
Well, next week is the mid-season.
Okay, so I think what they're going to do is they may wrap up some of them, then at the end of next season, I mean next episode, next week, and then you're going to unto the rest of the cable cords and the second half of Young Justice Outsiders.
Either that, or the third episode next week is going to end with all of our heroes being completely screwed.
Yes.
And then we will have to get, we will have to watch them get out of that.
Right. Anything else for this episode?
It's good to finally see the League and the rest of the Bat family in action.
Yep.
This is Batman's plan.
Batman's always got a plan. He couldn't do what needed to be done. I don't think he could do what needed to be done without the UN guidelines on him. I think he had to get out.
I agree. That Reach Tech is going to get loose.
Yep.
And Diana hit a nerve. She's not wrong.
At the end, when she said, well, are you willing to lie on the stand too? I know he is, what she said, but are you willing to do it?
Yeah.
So that's interesting. It was a very good episode.
Very good, very deep. A lot of them have been kind of deep. You can kind of see the threads. And like I said, I hope they all come back together. But right now, there's this big web that is very sprawly, and I'm not entirely sure where it's going, but
that's true.
It's gonna be fine. I have faith.
So
anyway, the third episode this week
was episode 9, Home Fires. The Light has hired an intergalactic assassin, but who is the intended target? But first of all, who is the assassin, Carrie?
The assassin is Lobo.
Listen, I am loving me some Lobo. Can I just say that? I cannot wait for him to show up on Krypton upcoming summer. Go Lobo. Yes.
Yes, go Lobo. He was hired to kill Forager? Why?
I still don't get that. I need to kind of watch
that
again.
I don't get it. And does he realize that he missed? Because the light doesn't seem to care.
Right. So, I don't know.
The light doesn't seem to care. The light doesn't seem to care that Forager is still alive at this point. They sounded like they were trying to, spook Nightwing's team. Into making a mistake or something like that.
Probably. I think so. I just don't know.
They wanted proof that Nightwing, Black Lightning, and Tigress were all in Markovia.
Okay.
And they seem to have gotten that proof, but I don't know what it is they're trying to accomplish at this point. And is Roz really out of the light? Because it seems like he still has contacts. Or he's still in contact with them.
Okay, well, I think he is, because even when Dick said that he is many things, but he is not a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And if he says he is out, I actually believe he's out. So I think he is.
To borrow from a different franchise, that could be true from a certain point of view.
Okay.
That could depend on your point of view. What Ra's Al Ghul's definition of being out of the light is, and what Nightwing's definition of being out of the light is, can be two different things.
Right. I guess. Okay. Let's talk about these goggles that we got by old Granny Goodness.
I should have noticed this when they mentioned what the name of the goggles were. And why is she working with Wade Enterprises? Please tell me this is part of Batman's plan.
I think it is, until
Batman has to know that's Granny Goodness.
Until I saw her show up with the light.
Yeah.
Then I'm kind of wondering if she's
now,
undercover.
Now I'm nervous.
If she's either undercover or if
she's an emissary for Darkseid.
Or she actually is over on the dark side.
No. She might be an emissary for Darkseid because she is one of Darkseid's hench people.
Okay. I can't believe I'm going to agree with G. Gordon Godfrey, but the goggles are turning the kids' brains into mush.
Yes.
Compare
them to smartphones. Yes.
That's right. Kids today will never understand.
He is not wrong.
Will never understand flip phones, and you pay per data.
Nope.
So, Clone Roy, come on. He's got a thing for Artemis. We all know it.
Maybe.
It's time for her to move on. It's been, 5 years now? She can move on to Clone Roy. It's okay.
Well, we'll see.
Unless
Wally comes back somehow, which, this is based off of comics, and Wally can come back.
Okay.
Finally, did they really need an end credit scene starring Lobo's pinky?
Well, frag me, yes they did.
Okay, fine. That was just wrong.
Anyways. Well, that's all of our DC TV news. We asked you, we're going to move into some discussion now real quick. We have a few minutes here. We're going to move into some discussion news we got. So we asked you on Discord to give us some questions that you thought you would have. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions, Carrie, and we could talk about them here in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Brax has a question for us. It says, with the reshuffling of the movies following Justice League and the unknown status of some of the stars, where do we think the trajectory is going? Until then, they were following a similar, albeit shortened, trajectory as Marvel towards the inevitable confrontation of the biggest, baddest enemy in the universe, Darkseid. Similar to the buildup of Thanos. We got the warm-up act in Justice League with Steppenwolf, and it looked like the next outing for the team would bring in the big guy. Do you think they will now fall back to doing more individual movies, or slow the roll toward an epic battle, or go forward on their existing track? And... before we answer that, we'll talk about that. Do you want me to read that article first?
That kind of goes with it. So there was an, it kind of addresses this, doesn't it?
Right. So the whole issue is, is DC abandoning their current track because of, I guess they consider them box office fails, which they haven't been fails. Let's understand that, people. Okay. They haven't been fails. They just haven't been as good as people would expect them to be. So, the boss over at Warner Brothers Picture Group, the chairman Toby Emmerich, spoke about the future of the DC movies, and he says they will not be chasing Marvel Studios' approach anymore. So he said they will remain more director-focused, and they will not use the Marvel playbook. He said, we all feel like we've turned a corner now. We're playing by the DC playbook, which is very different than the Marvel. We are less focused on a shared universe. That's a very key statement. We take it one movie at a time. Each movie is its own equation and own creative entity. If you had to say one thing about us, it's that it always has to be about the directors. So when I read this, now tell me if I'm wrong, here's what I'm getting. Okay, I know we do have the DCEU universe. Mm-hmm. All right, we got that. That's going to be a connected story. All right, that's mm-hmm. going to be the main story. That's going to be the best story out there. That's going to be the one that's going to connect to Darkseid. I still think they're going to have the Darkseid story, but they don't have to. They're not as focused on having that connected story. They'll get there if they get there, but they're going to focus on each movie and promote each movie on its own equation. For example, Birds of Prey is not a connected story. Joker is not a connected story, but they're going to focus on that movie as a one movie. And not have to worry about it connecting. Not to worry about sequels. Not to worry. Now, it'd be nice to get those.
Well, it would be nice to get those, yeah. It would also be nice if there was... It doesn't have to be as interconnected as Marvel is.
Right.
Okay, we'll take Tim's favorite movie, Ant-Man. It doesn't have to be something like Ant-Man where in order for Birds of Prey to function, they have to go and rob the Batcave.
Right.
Or rob Star Labs. You know, to get something like they did in Scott did in Ant-Man.
Right.
But we do know that Birds of Prey is more connected to both the Bat family and the Green Arrow family. So to have some kind of acknowledgement of that, especially, I mean, we already have Harley
right.
in the movie, but to have some kind of acknowledgement it doesn't have to be big. It could be just like maybe a shot of the Batmobile going, you know, racing somewhere in the distance. That would be fine.
Right. I get that. I do. I do. You were speaking about Ant-Man. Let's talk about Ant-Man. My wife actually loves the Ant-Man movies more than the other Marvel movies.
Oh, I do too. I love Ant-Man.
But when you watch Ant-Man, you don't have to have any knowledge of what's going on in the
exactly.
MCU. Because Ant-Man feels like its own entity movie. I think that's where DC's going. And so... As far as
there is the connectivity with the beginning scene in Ant-Man with the flashback and then sending him off to go rob what turns out to be Avengers the Avengers complex.
Right.
I mean, for that kind of stuff, you kind of have to know what has been going on in the past. At that point, it was what. 6-7 years of Marvel?
Yeah, I guess. Okay, so as far as to answer the question, where do we think it's going? Let's kind of boil it down here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I think where they're going is DC is just going to say, you know what? Screw the connected universe. We're just going to tell awesome stories and focus on one movie at a time. We have a lot of stories in our comics that we can just tell awesome stories. Let's just tell
mm-hmm.
stories
mm-hmm.
and that's it. For example, they're telling the Joker story. They're telling the Birds of Prey story. That's awesome. Just tell the stories. There's, you know, so I think that could be where they're going. That's my personal belief. And I think they're on a right trajectory, because I think what's going to paint Marvel in a bad corner, and I'm not saying anything negative about Marvel, understand that, but I think what's going to paint Marvel in a bad corner is that when they step into this new phase after Avengers Infinity War 2, okay, they can call it Endgame all they want, but it's part 2, okay, that I think they're going to struggle because they're going to have to continue to keep a shared universe.
Right.
And I think they're going to have to do a lot of thinking, and I think they're going to trip over themselves on some, which is okay.
Yeah,
but
which
I say
fine.
DC, focus on your individual stories, and somehow you can throw like a little line in there that connects it maybe to a different movie. And then after you do that, that's cool. Yeah, that's great. Do that. Go for it. But meet up to Darkseid years down the road from now.
Yeah, it could be something as small like what we saw in the end credit scene for Aquaman. Now that said, I would hope that they don't put off the Darkseid, the confrontation with Apocalypse too long, because you just can't tease that in BVS and in Justice League and not follow through on that. That is going to be a bit of a disappointment for those of us who know that, at least in the extended version of BVS, that was Steppenwolf that was interacting with Lex.
Right.
And then and then caught the reference to Darkseid in Justice League. And also the nightmare in Batman vs. Superman, Bruce's nightmare of the bugs and that Omega symbol, because that is a symbol for Apocalypse.
Right.
So right. I mean, he's seen this coming, and if they don't follow through with that storyline, it's going to be a missed opportunity.
Well, I think they'll get there, but eventually. I don't think they're... I know Rasher asked that he thought they were abandoning it. They're not abandoning it. They're just doing some reshuffling. They're moving. So they're trying some other things first. But it will still be there.
Right.
Anyways, so then Frank, I think a couple of them were funny. I get it. He said, hey, question. Why is MCU better than DCU? It's not. But that's okay. If... And then he said, if Ray was in a DC movie, would she be stronger than Superman? Obviously, because we don't like Superman.
Now wait a second. I don't know that she would be stronger than Superman. I think she might be able to outsmart Superman.
Obviously.
That's a completely different thing, though.
Well, all she has to do is, you know, he comes flying at her real quick, just throw that lightsaber, got him in half right there. Done. Problem solved.
I don't know if Superman is invulnerable to lightsabers.
May not be.
And what if it's a kryptonite lightsaber?
Ooh. That'd be awesome. Kryptonite crystal. Be awesome. Awesome.
I realize it's Legends now, but you know, back in the Legends it didn't necessarily have to be a Kyber crystal in the lightsaber.
That's true. All right.
Kyber crystals are awesome, but it wasn't necessity, at least back in Legends. It probably is now, but you know.
Last question we got. You ready? Is Mike really just Fred with a fake accent? Yes.
No.
We'll discuss that later. All right.
We'll discuss
that
later.
So we're going to go ahead and get into the listener feedback. We're coming to the end of our show. So I'll read an email, and Carrie, you can read our review here in just a second. So this is from Jesus again. He says, to my favorite show on the network, I was wondering if either of you have seen DC Superhero Girls show or movies. I have not.
No.
I know it's for a certain age group, but it really is something else. The amount of cameos they put in them is amazing. My 5-year-old daughter absolutely loves the shows and the movies. I have to say, this whole line that the great writer Shea Fontana oversees has been nothing but service. It has introduced my daughter to more superheroes than I could have ever. And she's taking a liking to several secondary characters. He lists a couple secondary characters that she really likes. I'm really grateful for DC and the director for this line. Plus, there are some really good messages that go along with all the stories. It's because of these series my daughter has seen all the DCEU movies. But that's a different email for a different day. I can honestly say I've not seen it.
I have heard
good things about it.
I've heard of it vaguely. But yeah, I haven't seen it or had much interest in watching it. I will probably get around to it eventually.
Okay.
Hey, and you know, if this is the way that his daughter got into the DC movies, great.
Cool.
Great.
Yeah.
This is that's awesome. However you find your way into a fandom, is perfectly fine.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, so we also have a review.
All right.
Did you have anything else to say, Mike?
No. I like it.
I
go
cut
ahead.
You off there. Okay, so we have a review from DC. There's a lot of ones after this.
One, 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 one.
It's like binary, but everything's on. Okay. I work the third shift and listen to this throughout my week. I look forward to getting into my car and nerding out on the way home. The cast very clearly loves and
loves DC.
Loves DC. This is really, really small, tiny.
Dang it, Carrie.
In the show notes here. And it's very, thank you, Mike. The cast very clearly loves DC and all its various content. Thanks, Mike and Carrie. Keep up the good work.
Yep. Awesome. All right.
Yep.
So you have our DC movie or series pick of the week, and then why don't you start us off with our closing credits there?
Yeah. So it's I've been binging the Green Lantern series now that it's on the DC Universe app, and it's really, really good, guys. Full disclosure, Hal Jordan has never been my favorite Green Lantern, but I understand that he's the fan favorite. And they did bring in eventually Guy Gardner, who is awesome and really funny. and because the show was done in the late in the last decade, jeez, that's been a decade
wow.
already. They have a quip about the Green Lantern Corps having tapped Jon Stewart, and they're like, well, the talk show guy?
Hmm.
No, not that one.
Oh my.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's been really, really fun. So I highly recommend checking that out. It also introduced all the other Lantern Corps, which I think that's been something that they did around the turn of the century, is introduce, you know, the red and green and orange lanterns and stuff like that. So
okay,
it's very cool.
Cool. All right, why don't you end us out here, Carrie, for tonight?
Oh, yeah. So we want to hear from you. You can email us at dctalk@randomchatter.com. You can find us on Twitter @randomchatter. You can find me at KerrieBlackfire42. That's K-E-R-I Blackfire42. Mike, where can we find you?
You can find me always at Obi Mike Kenobi. That's Obi_Mike Kenobi on Twitter.
And you can find all of our shows and articles and whatnot over at randomchatter.com.
All right. You can spread the word and support us. Leave reviews for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Like I said, we'll read your reviews on the air, but we want you to get your reviews in before this week, because if you do review us, not only will we read it, but you will be entered into a drawing next week when we draw the winner of the Death of Superman Blu-ray, DVD, and digital. So make sure you get your reviews in on that. You can tell your friends about us. Let them know you listen to us. Let them know how much you love us and how special we are to you and importance in your life. That'd be awesome. You could join us in Discord. Go to randomchatter.com/Discord. We have our main lobby, and our podcast channels are free, absolutely free to you. But if you choose to give us just $1 a month by supporting us on Patreon, go to randomchatter.com/Patreon. You will get access to every channel that we have in Discord. And Discord's fun. It's got a lot of channels when you pay for a dollar. So check us out on Discord. Support us on Patreon.
Okay, so the music you hear in this podcast is Shotgun Senorita by Blue Stolly, and As Silly As the Sentence Sounds. All trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next time, guys. Have a good night.
Peace.